15 verses of pure wisdom. Pure wisdom. Solomon wrote them down. Well, most of them. Most of them. And it was in response to the Lord asking him personally as the king of Israel, Solomon, what can I do for you? Have you ever thought of what you'd answer God if God came to you in a dream, it was in a vision, and said, what do you want? I could think of a lot of things I'd like, but what do I really need? Anyway, Solomon said, you know what, God? I need wisdom to rule these people, this Jewish nation of Israel. I'm young. I'm a young king. I've inherited it from my father David. So Solomon asked for a good thing. God said, you've got it. And thus we see 31 chapters were then written about wisdom. I am very aware that as we move on through the world and life, that some people struggle desperately because they have no great purpose, or they sense they haven't really got any identity. They don't know where to connect their life and what really gives them purpose and identity. And I believe that our Creator God, He created us and He gave us great purpose. And in the midst of that, He gives us an identity that doesn't have to be founded in something temporary, but in something eternal in Him. And the Word of God actually says in Ephesians 2, it says, we are His workmanship. And we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, and that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so we see that God created us, God established us, and in that, it gives us great purpose. It gives us identity. I'm glad that I don't have to believe in the reality that maybe I was birthed out of some microorganism that kind of grew and multiplied, so I became a human being, and you know, before that I was some monkey or something like that. I'm glad that's not my past, because God, He was an intelligent God, and He designed an intelligent being, and that's you. And out of that comes purpose, and out of that comes a hope. And so and in that, how do we live this life? And I think God's given us so much wisdom, so much input. When we've got decisions to make, when we've got two options to take, the high road, the low road, He gives us the purpose. And He says, you know what? I want you to be involved in good works, not bad ones, not compromising ones. And so He's allowed us to read His Word was written so that we can have great purpose. And today, I think Proverbs is one of the most practical books. Last week, we talked about the, what was it? Oh, the tongue. There we go. So you remembered. So we will have that up on podcast today. Apparently it wasn't up for last week, but it will be. We want to talk about another subject today, because the book of Proverbs has got clusters of themes all through it. And you can find the same theme in chapter 5, and then you go to chapter 10, and there's another set of verses around that same theme. And so last week was a tongue, but I want to talk about a word that is called integrity. Integrity. I want to talk about that today, because Proverbs has a lot to say. Proverbs chapter 19, let's give you a kind of a lead in here. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1 says this, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And then in Proverbs 28 verse 6, once again it says this, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than the one who is perverse in his ways, though he is rich. And if you were to look at those two verses, you would say they're identical. You would say they're exactly the same. But the reality is they are slight difference. And I want to draw your attention to that, because it says those who are perverse in their lips, and then it says those who are perverse in their ways. And so we see it is having integrity of speech and having integrity of actions. Have you heard the saying, if you can't walk the walk, don't talk the talk? Have you heard that? Well, the one thing about integrity is it's not only just speaking it, but it's actually acting on that. There's a lot of people in the world who know and they speak it, but they never act on it. And that's, I think, sad. The Bible actually calls them fools. Pretty blunt, isn't it? But you're foolish. If you know a good thing, you know, stick to it. You know what I'm saying? And so we see that integrity is when our words and our actions align, in that they're lined up. So It also says in these verses, it says, better is the poor twice. Can you see that? That this is clearly saying it's better to have integrity. What is it better? So clearly, there must be benefits to living a life of integrity. There is benefits to living a life of integrity. And the definition of integrity is a person who's honest and having strong moral principles and how to values, how to live their life. I think that's a great, and we'll talk about this, why it is so better. So let me talk to you today about three benefits that Proverbs tells us about in living a life of integrity. Number one, really simple. The first benefit of integrity is provision. Is provision. Okay? Because it says in Proverbs 20, chapter 20, verse 7, the righteous man or the righteous woman or the righteous person walks in their integrity. His children are blessed after them. Okay? I want you to draw your attention to something else in this verse because it aligns righteousness and integrity. In the same verse, it talks about both. And I was wondering, is there a difference? And they're very similar in what the words mean. But righteousness is being honest and morally upright in a general terms, while integrity is all about you personally adhering to being honest and morally upright. You're actually doing it. Righteousness is just a general thought, living a right life, morally upright. But when it comes to the word integrity, it's talking about your personal stance. Because once again, this verse, that emphasizes the reality. Are you actually living, are you living the righteous life? Are you just don't know about the righteous life? I just know it's not good to steal from my employer. But you know what? I'm doing more than that. I'm not doing it. And so once again, we see this aligning of the words and actions in this verse with the words integrity and righteousness. It also says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous. Okay? Blessings are on the head, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And then Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6, it says, the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. So here we see both these verses say that righteous people will receive provision from the Lord. And that's the point in regards to integrity. When we're integrous, it's amazing that what follows integral living, upright living, is provision from the Lord, or just provision. I think generally it is from the Lord. We may think it's just provision because I'm doing the right thing. I'm making the right financial kind of decisions. I'm investing wisely. Okay, but who gave you that ability? Ultimately, there's a provision that ultimately comes from our Heavenly Father. And I'm glad it's from our Father because when everything's going south in regards to finance, I'm just glad that we serve a God that actually still provides. When the interest rate's going up, that doesn't need to determine where I'm living in regards to God's blessing. God still blesses. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. I want you to know that, and we won't go into a whole message on finance. But let me just point this out: there is provision in integrity, in staying integrous in our life. And I want to practically illustrate this. See, Proverbs. We read that bit. So what it means for us is that we have to be careful that we don't compromise our convictions, cut corners in how we deal with all things financial. We've got to be careful. Everything to do with our material things in this world and the way of our possessions and stuff, we've got to be careful. Because, you know, there's many good people that have gone before us that have reached the heady heights in their business or reached the heady heights of some massive multinational company and yet crumbling down because under the surface someone's cooking the books or something's happening. There's no integrity and they lose it all. They lose their position, their job, their income. I worked at the power station after my grade 12 years. I got an apprenticeship as an 18-year-old after grade 12. And there was about 20 apprentices that were employed that year. I was employed at the Gladstone Power Station. It was owned by the Queensland Electricity Generating Board, QEGB was called. And out of those 20 apprentices, none of the apprentices were guaranteed a job after the 4 years were finished. None of us. And we knew that before we took it up. That was the policy of the company. No one was guaranteed. But if there was jobs available, you could apply. And I noticed that three apprentices got jobs after their apprenticeship back in the power station, and the other 17 were let go. And I often used to think about why this was the case. And as I started to just think about it in a teenage, well, actually I was 20, yeah, going on to 21 and a half by then, I started to realize that there was a clear picture evolving here of why three got jobs and 17 didn't. And you know the bottom line, I'll give you the insight into it, but the bottom line is the three that didn't were the people who turned up before the work bell went off. There were the people, there were the apprentices who actually didn't try to get into the lunchroom 10 minutes early. It was the apprentices that actually just listened to their supervisors and carried the jobs out to the best of their standard. They might not have got it all perfect. There were three of the apprentices that actually did the right thing by their employee. And there was another thing that you might find just a little bit humorous, but I found it incredibly interesting for a young man growing up and learning something God taught me very clearly through this. And it was through this piece of material here. Anybody know what this is? It's a chuck. I don't know if the guy who invented it was called Chucks. I don't know why they call it Chucks. But anyway, that's what they call them. Well, these were around quite a few years ago. They've been around for decades and decades. And at the power station, you could go and get a bundle of these every morning from what they used to call the power station storehouse. And you go to the counter and you just grab a pile of chucks because you'd use them because they were great to wipe the grease off your hands, wipe the job down. They were just great things to have. And so I'd grab about five or six every day. I'd stick some in my back pocket. I'd stick them in my toolbox and I'd go out on the job with my tradesmen and we'd do the job. And they were incredibly handy. You know what else they're incredibly good for? This is one from home. I use them still today to wash up. Who uses chucks for washing up? Yeah, who doesn't wash up? Yeah. There is the occasional thing that you can't put in the dishwasher. Come on. And you got to use them. And so we have a roll of these at home, and this is a brand new one. They're great for a lot of things, but you know, I found them back then. They were incredibly helpful, and whoever invented them, I reckon, must be doing quite well financially if they're wise with it. Because there is, and so at the power station, the men they were a new thing, and the men were grabbing bundles. But I noticed over time that men would not just grab five or six; they'd grab about 50 or 60, and they'd put about 45 of them in their bag, and they'd walk out the front door because there was security at the power station, but the security guards never checked the bags. And so what was happening is that after about 2 years, they were using not just 10 boxes, the boxes were this big, they were using hundreds of boxes that were going through of chucks every day. You know why? Because half the employees at the power station were walking out the door and taking them home. And so one day, I got home. And when I got home, I found I had a couple chucks in my back pocket. And initially, I thought, I know that's, it's not like a bundle, and I've forgotten about them in my back pocket. But over the next couple of days, there's a thing called the Holy Spirit. He's not a thing, he's a person. And there was this conviction that came upon me. If you keep doing that, James, if you keep forgetting, you know, keep forgetting about them, you're really no better than the guy who steals 50 or 60 of them. And I thought, well, that's not fair. It's only a couple. I just accidentally this day. Do you know that after that point and after that little confrontation, because the Word of God says that, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us. He just convicts us. And so I made sure that I took them in my back pocket and at least put them in my toolbox for the next day and they were going to be used where they should be used. But it's amazing that this, I worked out, was one of the reasons that the because you know what? They had cameras and they saw what people done. And when they never bailed anybody up, they made it very aware to everybody. They put a warning out, management, if we are found stealing chucks, you will lose your job, which is fair enough. And so it stopped. But you know, the reality is that this simple little lesson helped me understand how to just have some element of integrity. And when the end of the 3.5 years, well, it got close to 3.5, nearly 4 years of my apprenticeship, I was one of the three. And initially, I always wondered why I was one of the three that got a job. But when I look back, no one said anything. But the other 17 just didn't quite cut it, obviously. And I'm not elevating myself in any way. I'm just saying that God taught me something through the middle of my apprenticeship because of a simple piece of material. And you know, as I then got a job at the power station after 4 years, I got a job in the engineering section and I spent another 6 years there. And you know, that was instrumental then in me getting a little bit higher wage and then buying a house, marrying a lady, having three daughters. It set me up so that I could then continue to do what I did. Because after 10 years, I had an opportunity to come and just serve the Lord full time here. And you know, I just want to say, integrity, in your integrity, it's amazing how there is a provision for people who have an integral lifestyle. There's a provision. And I believe part of it's sometimes supernatural, but part of it's very practical. It's because we live in integrity, God provides. Is anybody there this morning that understands what I'm talking about? There is a provision. Jesus himself actually said in Matthew chapter 17, he walked into Capernaum. His disciples were with him. He walked into the synagogue. I've been in the very synagogue. Someone came up to Peter, who was Jesus' disciple, and said to Peter, doesn't your teacher give the temple tax? He said there was a temple tax, and you had to give a little coin as you entered the temple. It was for the renovations or the upkeep of the temple. I've been there. There's only half the temple there now. It's kind of the roof and everything. The walls are partly gone, but it's still there where Jesus stood and preached. And so Peter said to Jesus, he went and talked to Jesus after this little confrontation that they had with one of the priests, and said, doesn't Jesus give the temple tax? And Peter said, what's the deal, Jesus? And Jesus said, you know what, Peter? Let's not offend them. I tell you what we'll do. We'll pay the temple tax. We'll be integral about this. We'll pay it. But how about the way we're going to pay it is that you go to the Sea of Galilee, because it was right there, Capernaum's right on the Sea of Galilee, at the northern end of the Lake of Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee. He says, go and throw in a line, the first fish you get, pull it out, there'll be a coin in there, then go and pay the temple tax. So these people will not be offended by my simply not paying it. And that's what Peter did, and it happened. That's a miraculous provision, isn't it? I want to tell you, God's a wonderful Heavenly Father, and there is provision, and it all starts with just a simple acknowledgement that, you know, I need to walk in my integrity with how I conduct myself. Do you know what? There's always quick, rich, get schemes. Is that the word? There's always a temptation. Do you know that 70% of the people who win gold lotto are within 12 months are worse off than before they had they won? I don't know. I'm not going to go into the science of that, but I just know that I'm really not convinced that these get rich quick schemes really do work. Because sometimes I think it just takes the long haul, the long run, the right decisions over time, not the quick decisions. Well, if I just do this, then, you know what, if you haven't got it now and you get it quick, sometimes you'll lose it real quick because you don't know how to manage it. But when you build up over time, it's amazing how much wisdom you gather and you can just live for the long haul, the long stretch. You know what I'm saying? The marathon, not the sprint. And it's amazing. It all comes back to just right decisions at the right time, integrity with how you do it. Not just cut corners. You know, if I'd taken these home and continued to take them home, maybe I'd never be found out. Never found out. But the truth is I didn't do that. But the reality is that in the short run, I wouldn't have to buy Chucks. I would have been financially profitable through that. I wouldn't have had to buy Chucks for washing up. And there were the days when we didn't have a dishwasher and I did have to wash up. But I would have been, in the short term, financial gain. But in the long term, maybe not had a job, not had an income, and loss. Shortcuts never are the way to go. It's not integral, and it doesn't bless us. It doesn't provide. Okay, we're going to move on. You be good? Number two, second benefit of integrity is direction. Direction. Proverbs 11, chapter 3, the integrity of the upright will what? Guide them. But the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 5, two verses later, the righteous of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. So we see here in these verses that integrity and righteousness will direct our paths, will direct us. And you may say, well, how does it direct us? Well, if you have two options, if you have two decisions, and you don't know which one to take, take the righteous option, take the godly option. And it's, you know, that's what it's really saying. You know, it says in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Did you notice it says the steps of not an evil person? It doesn't say the steps of a compromised person. It doesn't say the steps of a wicked person. It says the steps of a good person, God will direct, are ordered by the Lord. My steps are ordered by him when I walk in my goodness, his goodness in me, integrity, righteousness. We can say, so the moment... We need to understand. So the moment when we're tempted, when we have two options, and one way is to compromise, we'd call that the low way. And the other way is to, of course, not compromise, but pick the moral way. We'd call that the high way. Okay? For simple terminology. Which way are we supposed to go? Well, clearly we're supposed to take the high way, the moral way, because that's God's direction for us. Straight away, we can determine, you have a conscience, you have an understanding, and you can make a decision. If there's a low way, and a way that's not right, you can determine that. The temptation with the low way is we get to the answer sometimes quicker. We get to the, we sometimes have the enjoyment quicker. You know, when you've got two blocks of chocolate, and you know you should only have two little squares, and you eat the whole two, you know, that seems like it's initially a win. This is great. I love this chocolate. But you know, ultimately, it puts pounds on your hips, doesn't it? And your chest starts to fall into your drawers. And all that type of stuff happens. So it's always the long haul, isn't it? It's always the long run that we make the decision for. And often the long run is the right decision. And when we make quick answers, or morally, we feel, oh, this will bring great pleasure right now. And we take that way. It's a shortcut, isn't it? It's a shortcut. And so we see that integrity will guide us every step of the way when we walk through life. That's the Lord's provision for our guidance and wisdom. We can sometimes think that the low way is quicker, or we can think it'll benefit us, but according to Scripture, it's not the best way at all. Once again, I have to draw from my past. I learned a lot of lessons when I was in those early late teens and early 20s. And that's good that I learned them, because it's helped me to live life a little bit better now. But when I was 18 and got my apprenticeship, the QEGB, the Queen's Electricity Generating Board, had this private training college in Brisbane. And so we're all sent to Brisbane, the 20 apprentices from the power station. It was actually about 75 from all over the state were employed the same year as I. And we end up and they put us in these big, really big boarding houses and in just off Brunswick Street, the valley, if you know where that is. So we were in these big boarding houses, and within the boarding house, there'd be a room, massive room that had been decked out with about five beds around the outside. And we'd all pick a room, and we all would live in this house for 8 weeks. And actually, the guys were all good. It was great bunch of guys, generally speaking. They were a great bunch of guys. We all supported each other. But this day, one of the rules of the boarding house was no alcohol, because the guy who owned it actually worked for the police. So we were told that, obviously on purpose. He was some kind of administrator or forensic scientist. And he owned the building and he said, no alcohol. So everybody knows no alcohol. So I walk into the room one day, and I think it was a weekend after, one Saturday night. And all the guys are on there laying on their beds. And someone's brought in a couple packs of stubbies, 4Xs. Do you know, you used to have these little stubbies? They're like the ginger beer bottles. And it was all alcohol, it was all 4X beer. And they're passing them around. And they come to me, and well, initially what happened was they had a cigar. And one of them, look, he was a nice guy. He's puffing away in it. There was no smoking in there either. And he's passing it around. It got to me, and I said, nah, look, I never wanted to smoke. It's fine, guys. And so I passed it up, and I thought, 10 out of 10, James. Because I was a Christian. I was a believer in Jesus. I'm thinking, I'm doing pretty well. I've overcome the peer pressure. But then they started to pass the beer around, and they got a little bit more determined to press the case. And they said, come on, just have one. And I gave in. And so I had this stubby of beer. Hate the taste of alcohol. Still do. I've never drunk. I never really want to drink. And so I'm there, and they all drink their stubbies real quick, and they put them under their beds. But guess who? The old bozo here didn't drink it fast enough, and I've got half a stubby beside me on the bed because I hated the taste. And I'm doing it because of peer pressure. I'm a Christian, mind you. And so guess who walks in, just opens the door, the manager, the forensic scientist who worked with, he walks in, and he looks straight at me, and he shook his head. And guess who got caught? And all the others are like, the guy who didn't want to drink gets caught. And so, thankfully, he didn't kick me out. He gave me a warning. And I didn't dob my mates in. I could have. I should have. But I took the flack. And you know what? To my knowledge, they, certainly myself, but they never brought alcohol in again. They all learned their lesson. But here's the point. Here I am as a Christian. And the problem was probably not the alcohol as much as I went against the rules. I went against, and that's exactly what happens in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they just disobey God. And I thought, I'm as bad as Adam and Eve. And so I said, I repented before God, and I said, God, obviously you're trying to teach me something. I'm the one who didn't want it. I'm the one who got caught. You're trying to say something to me. But you know, the reality is God did not strike me with lightning that day. And I don't even think I lost my salvation. I think he still loved me. And when I come to him and I just said, Father, I'm sorry. But you know what? I didn't get away with it, which I'm kind of glad now. At the time, I was a bit concerned whether I was going to be allowed to stay there. I was. But now, in hindsight, I was glad that I got caught. Because if you don't get caught sometimes, folks, what happens is you just think, well, I got away with it. No one knows. I'll do it again. And you do it again. And you do it again. And you know, in the short term, you get away with it. But you never get away with it. Because in the long term, what happens is you erode your character. You erode your character. And that's why we, and all of a sudden, years down the track, we end up in a bad situation where we've formed a habit that's not good because we've eroded our character by thinking we're getting away with it, but you never get away with it. Bit silent. People have a habit of compromise and integrity. In some point down the road, it negatively affects them. And this is what the scripture is saying, that God wants to guide our lives. Is that what we're talking about? I've told the story and I get off the... Yeah, he wants to give us direction. And you know, my direction that day should have been, don't give in to peer pressure. Just don't. Not because of whether it is right or wrong, but simply it's not right because of the house rules at least. So we've got to be careful. Integrity will bite us one day. A lack of integrity will bite us one day. In the short term, we think it's okay. In the long term, it can slowly erode your life and destroy your life. And that's a sad day. Here's the third thing. Third thing about integrity. The third thing about integrity, integrity protects us. Okay? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. And then it says in Proverbs 11:8, the righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. What all the scriptures are saying here is that righteous living and integrity will actually protect us from harm and disaster. That's the truth of the matter. It protects us from harm and disaster. If there's ever a story in the Bible, it's a great story about, Old Testament story, about three Hebrew men. They were Jewish men, nation of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some of you know the story. And the story goes like this, is that three men were taken into captivity into Babylon, into a heathen nation, didn't believe in God. These were three Jewish, good three young men who believed in God, would worship God, would look to God. And they were taken into captivity. They were made servants and slaves in this country. The king's name was Nebuchadnezzar. What a name. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar obviously was a little bit taken with himself. And so he built a statue of himself, and everybody has to worship me. Because, you know, kings in those days saw themselves as part God. No wonder they didn't survive. But anyway, he said, worship me. Everybody is to worship me. If you do not bow down and worship me, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. The three Hebrew men looked, I don't know, but I'm just thinking, maybe initially they would have talked among themselves. Well, if we just bow down physically, but not in our hearts, we'll be right. But in the end, they said, nah, can't do that either, because it'll look like then that we're really worshipping an idol. We can't do that before God. We can't do that. And so they knew, that, well, as far as they were concerned, their life is finished. They're going to be burnt. They're going to be frizzled. And so they said to the king, "Oh, king, you know, we honor you, but we're not going to bow down to you. You're the king. We honor you because you're king, but you're no God. And we're not going to bow down." He got really upset and he heated up the furnace, threw them in. They're in the furnace. He's looking through some kind of, I don't know, window, whatever. And he sees them walking around. How do you walk around in a furnace? And then there's a fourth man. And theologically, our commentators say that it was literally Jesus manifest in the Old Testament, was walking with them. Anyway, that's a side issue. But anyway, they come out and they're not, it says literally no hair of their head was singed. Wow. Wow, God's provision, God's protection. I want to tell you, integrity does that for you. It provides for you. It gives you. You know where you do the right thing and then you get blamed? Just hold your integrity. Hold your mouth. Hold yourself together, because you know what? God will justify in the end. It will shine through. Integrity will provide for you. It will protect you. I love the reality. I want to just share, as we finish this morning, an inheritance. It says in Proverbs chapter 20, 21, an inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Look at this verse. Can you see that God can withhold things from us because he knows that it's not the right time for you to receive it, because he knows that your character or your integrity isn't able to handle it? I'll illustrate. Prodigal son, Luke 15, wanted his inheritance from his father straight away. So his father, I think, wisely gave it to him, because he could see this young man was hell-bent on destroying his life. So he gave it to him. His son went, you know, lived the high life, but literally went down to the lowest of lows. Wasted his money, blew it all, comes back to his father, and he realizes that, you know, he had no integrity, and yet he comes back to his dad. His dad accepts him. And you know what we see here is the reality that in his riotous living, in his debauchery and all that he was involved in, there was no protection. He nearly lost his life. He nearly starved to death. But then he came back to his father. He gained life. He came under his, you know, we come under our Heavenly Father. We live a right, righteous life. There's protection. There's for us. But the reality is that this young man took what was his before it was due. And there's so many times I firmly believe that God loves us so much, folks. He loves you so much. Sometimes that he will withhold things that he has for us, withholding good that he has for us, until our integrity is able to handle that blessing. That's God's protection on our lives. There is some things that I ask God for that I didn't get till later in life. You know why? Because he knew what, when I could handle it and when I couldn't handle it. That's a God who loves us and wants to protect us. Come on. So I've seen this time and time again in my life. He's withheld stuff, and you wondered why. But God's wisdom was that he wanted to protect us. It's like a good parent. You know, if you get your 12-year-old say, "I want to drive the car today," what are you going to do? "Oh, yeah, here's the key. See you later." No, you're not. You're a parent who protects them, isn't it? Right? You say, not, you know, maybe, you know, if it's on a farm, you know, around a little circle, I don't know. But I'm just saying, you can't do that. That's not going to help. You know, the kids say, "We just want to play ball on the highway." "Oh, go ahead, kids. Enjoy yourselves. I'll just bring the shovel out and scrape you off the road later." You know what I mean. We don't do that. We don't do that as parents. God, our heaven, why would you think your Heavenly Father would say, "Oh, I'll just give you what, you know, you need that, but not right now." And so integrity, his understanding of us protects us from harm and things that would happen. So I love that. Some of us have dreams and aspirations, but God has put on your heart, but it hasn't come about yet. And I want to tell you that God is protecting you until you have the character of integrity to handle what God has for your life. And there's someone or somebody today or some people today that's a word for you today. You think, "I want this now." No. God, it will come, but not now. It's because God's protecting you for a time you can handle it. So as the team come, thank you guys, as they come on stage today. We compromise integrity because we want to live in the moment. We enjoy the moment. We enjoy the instant gratification. We enjoy, you know, what comes with those moments of, you know, those words that come out of our mouth, and we, and it seems to be the right word, but, you know, we really know in our heart it was a harsh word, it was the wrong word. But, you know, whatever the situation, or we make a financial decision and it's a quick one, and initially it looks like it's a great one, but long run it really burns us. There's a whole bunch of stuff. We want it now. And that's the world. It advertises to us. It pushes instant gratification. I want to say delayed gratification has been the doing of my life. It's been the making of my life. Delaying the gratification. Because if you know, if you're willing to do the hard yards, joy comes in the morning. It doesn't come when you're doing it. You know, there's a growing. It's the long haul. It's the long run. It's not the shortcut in everything. We want to encourage you. Take the long view. The long view is that God will make provision for you, but we don't have to make shortcuts today. The long view is that God will actually protect us. The long view is that God will actually guide us. We just need to submit unto that. Amen. Amen. We're going to just worship for a moment this morning.